Blog Talk Radio.
Those are brand new to the podcast.
This is your very first time tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I thank you for tuning in. However you got here, whether you dialed in or whether you logged in, I thank you for taking the time to stop with us. I also want to thank whoever invited you for sharing information with you, and make sure that you share it with someone else. Our goal is always, always to encourage, to educate, and to empower. Now, we don't always give brand new information, but we talk about the word. And because we talk about the word is always encouraging. We also want to make sure that we have an encouraging word. The Bible is everything, amen. And so we always use our references from the word. We want to make sure that you're educated. It may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that you can expound on and see where it is that God will have for you to learn and grasp so that you can take this further in your own personal studies. And then we want you to be empowered. We want you to make the necessary changes so that God can empower you to do what he has called us all to do, and that is to change to be more like him. And so then, after you're empowered and get the necessary changes and you're following the things that God has called you to, amen, just be empowered to share with someone else. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with someone else. And when you share it with someone else, praise God, let's hope that you get the same blessing that you can. Or more so, amen, because it flows up, flows down. God's goodness is just amazing. So we hope that all of you will listen and join in and be encouraged, educated, and empowered. Now, I always thank those of you that have been with me for the past 11 years. Amen. I say any amount of time, but you know, past a year is a big blessing. Amen. We've been in this thing with me, but you've been with me for 2 months, 2 years. The whole 11 years. Amen. I'm grateful each time you stop and pause for a moment to listen, whether you listen at the end of live recording, if you're listening you can definitely get supportive of how you listen. And so I thank you for that. Because many of you, I can't name you by name, but I can definitely name these two people. There's Tammy and Jeffrey still, because without them and the Mega Ministry, wouldn't know if this was a platform that I was born. But praise God, it was a platform at the time that I needed, and I've always needed it. And I've always needed their encouragement, their praise, support. And a true example of what it means to be a supporter of others, to make sure that they're doing the assignment and the gift that has with them. So I'll always call them out by name. And we'll always acknowledge them because there hadn't been for me, them, and this platform. I just don't know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be completely convinced, for lack of a better term, this is the title of the lesson for today. But I wouldn't be motivated to do what God has called me to do had I not had this assignment and had this assignment for as long as I'm in. To make sure that I say, amen, God used them, and they continue to be used by you. And so for that, I'm grateful. But the greatest praise, of course, has to go to our Father. He's your Father, he's my Father. Whether you believe it or whether you know it, it's all of our Father. So we have to I love my guess because I can't say I sound like a robot again. And so, I'm not supposed to speak this time. I got to stay in because I wouldn't sound close. And so, praise God, if I still sound close, sound like a robot. I don't know if it's better. Let's see. This is better. I can do that. Let's see. I pray that this is better. But nevertheless, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. The guest that sent the message that I sounded like a robot, can you let me know? Does it sound better? Okay, praise God. She said it's better. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. Father, you didn't have to do it, but you did. And so because you did, we're grateful. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to have the use of our limbs and being in our right minds. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to just be able to embrace you, to be able to feel your presence. And, Father, we can't thank you enough because you made it possible so that we can. And so, Father, you gave us three main resources. One, your word. And we thank you for that, Father, because it gives us the directions. It gives us the insight of what we must do and where we must go and how we should do it when we get there. Amen. And so we just thank you, Father, for that tool. And then, Father, you didn't stop there. You brought that part of you so that we could be in the know, if you will, Father. When we don't know, the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf, goes before us, and makes the crooked places straight so that we would have a better understanding. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the part of you that left yourself inside of us gives us discernment and gives us wisdom and gives us whatever we need to back away or to move forward. So we thank you, Father. And then the last but not least resource that we are focused on a day-to-day basis is the cross, amen, that you came and you died and that you shed blood for us so that we would have opportunity to be righteous, that we'd have an opportunity to be forgiven, that we'd have an opportunity to live forever. And so, Father, for those three resources, we can't thank you enough for it. So that's why I acknowledge you every time that I come to you in prayer. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Now, Father, as we prepare to go into this lesson, we believe and trust that you will do what is necessary to break all hindrances, break all distractions, so that we can get every single thing that you have for us in this lesson on tonight. And Father, I ask that you remove me, that again, that you take these distractions with the echoing and all the stuff that, Father, that will prevent those that are dialing in or logging in for a word, Father, allow them to have the frame of word that is needed, whether it's tonight or whether it's in the future, Father, but let them receive. And it's in Jesus' name we acknowledge you are the vine that will branch us, and as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can absolutely, positively do nothing. So thank you. We honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God. Last week, I celebrated my birthday. And so, praise God, on the broadcast, I talked about birthdays, and I talked about why it's important, not necessarily for us to celebrate them, but to definitely acknowledge them, because that's a year that we got to live. We got to be able to do many things, amen. But more importantly, God has given us free will. And so because we have free will, whatever we did to get to the next year, we have to stop and pause and thank God for it. We have all these different holidays on the calendar, but by far, birthdays are important to me because there's so many things that happened in my life that I didn't have to be here. And so because God blessed me to live another year, I celebrate that, and I don't take that lightly, because not everybody makes it. And so, praise God, last week I couldn't celebrate my birthday the way I wanted to because I was with my daughter in Tennessee. But this weekend, amen, my girly whirlies took me out yesterday, and I'm just overwhelmed with greatness and gratefulness, because God doesn't have to put good people in your life that you don't have to acknowledge them, I guess I should say, because he's always going to make sure that he provides what you need. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and sometimes he uses his special ones to keep you encouraged and keep you built up. But I have been blessed for so many years, amen. When I'm teaching these adults now, and many of them have come with different hardships of why they are where they are. But it is amazing that they look at me and then they think that, you know, their lives are so different. And so when I share my story, it is overwhelming sometimes to watch their expression, because again, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll make you believe you're the only one going through things. He'll make you believe that you're the only one suffering in this area, or that you're the only one that has this problem, or you're the only one that has to go through certain things, and it's just not true. And so when we understand, when God connects us to people, when God connects us to other believers, then we are convinced, and that's why I said this topic today, I believe God wanted us to understand
why we need to be convinced that he is able. He is able to deliver us from all things. And although it seems difficult sometimes when we're going through, it seems difficult when we're going through the valley, it seems difficult how to navigate ourselves through this thing called a life, but he's always there. He's always there, and he knows. And even when our lives look bleak, he's still there. He's still there. And so I want to go through a couple of scriptures, but I kind of got my basis off of what happened to me this weekend. And so I was tired because, praise God, trying to do these different things. And Lord have mercy, everybody knows that I don't enjoy seeing 8 o'clock in the morning with clothes on, that I have to be outside clothes. I'd rather be in my pajamas. But nevertheless, doing that every day has been therapy, one. And then I've noticed that my body is changing to adjust. And so that's another thing I love about God, how our bodies are resilient and how we can adjust. We can make the necessary adjustments when we're doing things that we believe that are beneficial for us, and definitely when they're a blessing from God. And so this weekend, my knees and my back was, was saying, no, you need a break. But I have committed myself to go to service on Saturdays to help my friend, Dr. Ellen Austin, with the Spirit and Light Empowerment Training. And so I had decided that I probably wouldn't go because my body was just aching. And so a good friend of mine, and I'm calling these names because these were significant, and that's why I'm sharing their names, Elaine, she told me a couple weeks ago that she was going to do this thing for her church or for her group or something she's doing it for. And so she said that she had mentioned it to someone, and they had said, oh, well, I'm going to do it. And so they attempted to do it. And so she was kind of disappointed, and I don't know for sure if she was really just venting that she thought about doing something different. And I told her, no, if God gave that to you, you do it, because none of us have a monopoly on the word. We share the word, and so if somebody takes this and ministers it again, why do I care? Because at the end of the day, that means that they got a revelation. That means that it was something that was meaningful to them, and they felt empowered to share it. And so I'm so glad that she went ahead and did what needed to do, because, like I said, Saturday I wasn't feeling as great as I was. And so she sent a message that morning for her daily message was, if you hang around wise people, I'm paraphrasing, but if you hang around wise people, you will become wise. And if you hang around fools, you'll be amongst them. And I thought, wow, I need to get up and make sure that I go and be around some wise people. Amen. So when I got to this empowerment training, one of the key words that stood out to me was distraction. And I thought, wow. Amen. So many of us get distracted from the things that God has called us to do. And so I like that she, does what I do, defines the word. And so the distraction definition she gave was, a distraction is something that takes your attention away from what you're supposed to be doing. Distraction comes from the Latin word disapart. Isn't that deep? And then it can be translated as drag. So a distraction is when you're dragged away from your task. That was very pivotal for me, because I knew that God had required me to be there. As much as I complained about my back, and even being there, I was limping because my back was really bothering me, because standing up for a long time, I just don't normally do. And then moving back and forth, because I have to go from student to student, and then sitting down and standing up. And so it was a lot. And so I had to remind myself that I didn't want to be dragged away from hearing the word. And so sometimes we just need a rhema word. And so the rest of the lesson kind of talked about why it's important for us to be our best. And so I thought about it. Lord, you're requiring all of us to be our best. But sometimes we do get distracted, and we get led away or strayed away from the assignment because either someone or something takes us away from what we're supposed to be doing. And just how I love God, because when he gives me a message, he will seal it, because I'll hear it in other areas. So even on the radio, Steve Harvey was talking about how he believed that he had gone through so many different challenges in life so that he could be where he is today, because he knew, well, he didn't know for certain, but he believed that God was going to give him a platform. Now, I don't know what Steve's doing on a real tip, but, I mean, he does minister enough on the word. I just think sometimes, amen, he could deliver it a little differently, but nevertheless, he has a platform, and he's using it for good, because I was blessed by what he said. And so I know I've heard him say on occasions that he believes he's been called into ministry, but he just is whatever his story is. But nevertheless, he's doing what he believes is best that he could do. But nevertheless, it did bless me, because it gave me an understanding that sometimes we have to go through certain things so that when we minister on them, we can speak from experience, not from what somebody said, not from what somebody done, what somebody we watched. But we have every bit of evidence that God is God. And so that's why I believe God gave me the assignment to share with you. You have to be convinced that God is doing what he has called you to do, and the way that he's leading you to do it, it's for your benefit, not necessarily for the people that you're speaking to, but definitely for yours, because you can speak from conviction. You can speak from authority, because that's what he wants us to do, to speak from power and authority of his goodness. And so when we go to where I believe God wants us to go on tonight, our main scriptures will be Romans 1, Philippians 2, and then Psalms 23. And so, like I said, this whole week has been busy for me, because even one of the ladies at the school says, "Lee, you don't read your emails through the day," and it's like, I can't, because I take what I do seriously enough that I don't walk around with my phone. And so when I'm doing an assignment, I'm true to the assignment. I don't keep my phone on me at all times, because it's a distraction. And so, you know, even though I can be distracted from the things that God has called me to, but when I'm called to something and I'm trying to do something, I try to give it my all, just because I believe whatever I do it unto God. And so if that's not a good practice for any of us to learn on tonight, is that when you're doing something, you need to drown out distractions, because you can't give 100% if you're being distracted. And so many of us know that we do certain things, you know, that's why, you know, driving, it can be deadly when you're distracted. And so there are some things that we do, we have to tune out the world. And so when you're really into the word of God, you got to shut off distractions. And so, like I said, this week has been surrounding me around things that have convinced me, no pun intended, but have really sealed this message, was an email or a text message that a friend sent me through the week of Psalms 23. And so I'll share that at the end. So our three main scriptures are focus of areas is going to be Romans 1, Philippians 2, and Psalms 23. So now we'll go to Romans first, and because, like I said, I believe in my heart that God really wants us to focus on why it is important for us to be convinced that no matter what goes on in our life, we know that he is there. Now, you know, I had cancer and heart attacks and strokes. And so even in the midst of all of that, I still knew that he was there. And so I knew, because he had told me, this is not unto death. So I had to just keep it going. So now some thought that I should sit down somewhere. And even my sister, we had a long conversation about, Leah, you have a lot of stuff on your plate. And I asked her, well, what's on my plate? Because usually when people try to get in touch with me is in the afternoon when they're free. But nobody calls me during the day when I'm free. And so how could I be so busy when I'm asleep most of the time until the last couple of weeks? I don't do nothing during the day because I'm asleep. But, you know, I'm up from now until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't nobody call me during those times. So the times that most people would want me is the times that they're free. So because I'm not free when they're free, then that means I'm busy. That's not fair. And so we make a lot of judgments and we make a lot of decisions for other people when we're not really in tune to all of the information. And so we have to be mindful of that. And so to overcome some of the things that people assume, some of the things that people throw at you, you got to know why it's important for you to overcome people and some of the things people say. So, I mean, I could be going from now until forever trying to explain certain things about the things and how I do them, just as people could do the same in the reverse. But it's not about that. I have come to understand that I take complete sincerity when it comes to accepting every day as it comes, because I've been surrounded with death, and I know how easy it is for us to leave this planet. I mean, it's over. And so I want to be the best Leah that Leah can be. And so I've made a commitment not to argue, not to fuss, not to do backbiting and getting in other people's affairs. And so because I am quiet, because I don't respond back, sometimes people don't see that for what it is, but to bother me, it doesn't bother me anymore. One of the main things that I had to overcome, on top of overcoming, is I forgot the word just that quick. Being misinterpreted, but it's another word. But nevertheless, it used to bother me when misunderstood. That's the word. Being misunderstood, and so sometimes we don't always communicate properly. That's anybody for that matter. And sometimes there are times. More so for me, I think, because I'm still trying to fight this whole thing about having the strokes and being slow and not being able to get my words and stuff together. So I have to really focus on overcoming the enemy and his voices in my head that I'm going to forget. Needless to say, I'm grateful that God worked on me prior to overcome the thoughts and the assumptions of people. When we talk about overcoming means to succeed in dealing with difficulties or problems, learning how to defeat your emotions and your actions to be combative, to be able to subdue and to be able to be at peace when you're in the midst of your, I don't want to always say enemies, but that's what the definition says. Because sometimes everybody's not an enemy. Sometimes they just don't know no better. And so you have to learn how to overcome them. And so in light of Black History Month, we can focus on so many different people, and there's just not enough time to focus on other people that we should. But one of the things that, if I could just say a little brief thing about Black history or any type of history of anybody, because I think sometimes we get so caught up with naming different cultures that we miss out on just people. There's a lot of things that people had to overcome in order to be what they were designed to be. And I don't think most people that we study set out to be famous. And I think sometimes that's where we get confused, because we want our name in life and we want to do certain things so that we can be recognized. But you have to learn how to overcome that too. If you just do what you're supposed to do, God does the elevating. So we have to resist, we have to stand firm, we have to believe, and we have to know. And then we have to know what the word says about overcoming. I love that 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone born unto God overcomes the world. And so we have to learn how to overcome. But once we get to do that, then we have to know, and I'm convinced of this, that we have to know God, we have to know his word, we have to know his will, and we have to know his way. These are the things that helps us stay focused. These are the things that help us stay true to him. And so, like I said, I have no problem and I have no doubt in believing. That's why I am convinced that God would never leave me nor forsake me. When I have to minister a word, whether I study a week ahead, I study a day ahead, or 5 minutes or 2 minutes, or don't know anything, when he puts the mic in my hand, I am convinced that because my heart is to teach his word, he's going to give me what I need. So I don't fret anymore. I still get a little nervous. But nevertheless, my nerves more or less come from, Lord, please let the line act right. Let me be able to dial in. Let them be able to dial in. Let them be able to hear me. Take the fuzz. Take the distractions out. Because I know he's going to give me a word without question, because I know that's my assignment. I know that is my spiritual assignment. So I can preach on a pack of gum if necessary, because I know God's going to give me what I need to say, because he knows my heart and he knows that I'll be a mouthpiece for him. So that's because I know who God is. So, and then I have to know who his word is. Well, I took the time to study his word because I wanted to know what I was talking about. I wanted to be able to stand firm. Now, Mind you, I didn't necessarily want all the challenges and all the things that surfaced around it to make sure I was convinced that his word is true. But nevertheless, I am a firm believer that his word will come to pass. I am a firm believer that his will come to pass. And by all means, I know that my way is not his way, and that his way is supreme. So I know God, I know his word, I know his will, and I know his way. Do I know it completely? Absolutely not, because I still get distracted, because I want sometimes my will to be first, and sometimes I want my word to be the loudest, but I know I'm not God, and so that's what humbles me, and so that's why I'm grateful that God keeps the right people around me to make sure that I stay true and I stay committed to his word. And so I'm going to share this before we go to Romans. According to Hebrews 4 and 12, it says the word of God is alive and it is active. And we have to believe that. And once we believe that, then it'd be easy for us to be more convinced that he is working on our behalf. That even though what we're doing doesn't necessarily seem, Lord, really, are you here? Because this scale don't seem balanced. And, you know, I need for you to take some of this weight off because I feel like I'm carrying more than you are. But, amen, we have to remember that, you know, all scriptures God breathes. And so he said that he was going to equip us. And so however he equips us, whether it's through teaching, whether it's through rebuke, whether it's through correction or through training, it's all going to be done in righteousness, and it's all going to be in line so that we can be equipped, not just for the work that we're working on, but for all good work. Amen. So when we go to Romans chapter 1, I am again convinced that the word is the word, and so I don't question the word, but nevertheless, I like Paul and his testimony, if you will, of the things that he encountered. And so the first part of Romans, he kind of describes who he is, and he's a descendant and all that kind of thing. But I want to start at verse 5, because it says through him, and he's talking about Jesus Christ our Lord, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith in his namesake. So we have to have faith in doing whatever it is that God calls us to do. And so I tell my daughter, this is probably not the best term to use, but I am crazy enough to believe that whatever God said he was going to do, he's going to do it. And so I just wait for it. And so, of course, it's been because I've been through so many things and been tried and true. I am convinced that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So it says in verse 6, and you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We all belong to him. And so 7, it says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. Now, of course, this was written during the time that he was speaking to those in those famous places. But this still applies to us. And so I always insert myself into a word. And so it says, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. So as long as we understand that we have peace and grace that's with us, amen, then we can continue to walk in this walk. And so verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith is being reported all over the world. And again, like I said, I always insert myself in the word. If you're doing what God has called you to do, believe and trust me that people are watching and people are sharing. You know, God bless this such and such and such through this situation. And our testimony is being shared all over, maybe not the world in your community, but it's definitely shared within the community. Amen. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers. At times, I pray that now and at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. So now in this particular section, I can't necessarily insert myself, only that I do pray for my listening audience. I do pray for those that I encounter. I do pray for those that I interact with. And so for that, yes, I can insert myself. We can all insert ourselves when it comes to that. It says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. Now, it's interesting that some of us believe that it is the pastor's job to minister to the people. It is the pastor's job to do this. We're all ministers in the word. And so we all can take this to heart when we are doing what God has called us to do, because he's called us all to go and to share the gospel, all of us. And he's going to prevent that path, that community that we're supposed to minister to, whether it's our family, whether it's people at a job, wherever it is, he's going to give you what you need. You just got to do your part. And it says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by the faith by each other's. And that's why it's important for us to be in the company of other believers. It says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but it has been prevented in doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you just as I have amongst the other Gentiles. So basically he's saying, and some of you that know Paul's journey, how he had a lot of distractions along the way that prevented him from going all the places he wanted to go when he wanted to go. But nevertheless, because God is God and he promised him he would go, he provided a way for him to go. So it says in 14, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. Remember I told you about that message my friend sent me. This is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. This is why I'm so eager every Monday night to share the word. Wherever I share the word, I'm eager because 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. That's everybody. And so we have to be convinced that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. There are times that I'm in different places and it's like, oh, Lord, do I tell them I'm a Christian? Do I operate like, you know, or should I act like them so I can be amongst them? And then it always comes to me, are you ashamed of me? And it's like, well, no. Well, then, amen, do what I told you to do. And so we have to be obedient. Nevertheless, I move on. And so it says that in 17, for the gospel and the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Many times I don't even have to say I'm a minister, and people can just, you're a minister, huh? And I'm like, how did you know? I'm trying not to tell nobody, and you know, because amen, the righteousness of God shines before you. So sometimes when people don't know you saved, amen, you got to ask yourself why. But anyway, so 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from the heavens against the godlessness, and the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. Saints, it is amazing to me how we still say, oh, I just can't believe our people are doing such and such and such. The Bible has already foretold us that people were going to become lovers of themselves and less about people and others. And so we have to be reminded that when we live in this system that is all about self, that is all about these things that they're about to talk about in the next few scriptures, that we have to be reminded that God already said that this Bible was written how many years ago, and it was written again for our training, for our correction, our rebuke. God knew. He knew that we would become lovers of ourselves, and that we would become more foolish than we would become wise as a group, a body of people. And so we have to make sure that we always renew our minds and have a right mindset so that we don't become foolish where our hearts will become darkened. And so we skip down to 24. It says, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurities, for them degrading their bodies with one another. Now, it is interesting to me that sometimes we can justify the things that we want to do that we know that are not of God, and how God is always going to convict us. He doesn't condemn, but he will convict us. And so we have decisions to make. And so I was watching a movie the other day, and it was like everybody has a few moments before they are to commit a sin, a grave sin. Whatever grave sin to you is, that it's a grave sin because it's different for all of us. We are given a few moments to get our minds right, and that's because those three things that I thank God for, and every time I pray, the Word, we know what the Word says, the Holy Spirit, and then we know we have the blood of Jesus that covers us. And so the Holy Spirit is always going to give you a preview. I wouldn't do that because, and then sometimes you'll see it through other people. Sometimes you'll hear it. Sometimes you'll see it. But nevertheless, the warning is there, and so you have a decision. It may be a few seconds because you're already committed to doing certain things. You still have a moment to pause, and it is in those moments that you have to be convinced. Oh, yes, Lord, I hear you. But I think I'm going to go ahead and do it, Lord. Just don't let the consequences be too great. Now, granted, we can take our chances and risk. 26, it says, because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lust, even, and then he gave, you know, certain things. And Amos, I don't want to get into that today, but if you read Romans 1, it talks about, you know, the different types of sins that we get caught up in. And so for me, as a minister, I try not to condemn people. You know, granted, there are a lot of things that are in this set of scriptures that talks about, you know, people, lovers of themselves and lover of the same kind, and greed and evilness and murder and strife and deceitfulness and malice and gossips and slander, those that are arrogant, those that are disobeying their parents. I mean, he included everything for the most part of what we still do today. And so it's always so interesting to me how we can be so judgmental, be part of one of these. But we're going to, I'm going to highlight this one because they're worse. When God says it's all we shouldn't do. And it says they have no understanding, they have no fidelity, they have no love, they have no mercy. Although they know God's righteousness, he decrees that those who do these things deserve death. But not only do they continue to do them, they do the very thing that also they do the, but they also approve those who practice them. Saying we have to be convinced we want to be right. We have to be convinced that we want to do the things that God has called us to do. We want to come out of those that do those things that are not pleasing to God, because eventually you will convince yourself, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will allow you to make you believe, well, this ain't as bad as such and such, and this thing is not as bad as that one. You know, you just lie a little bit, or you just gossip a little bit. That's different from somebody, you know, practicing shameful acts with, you know, the same sex. You know, that is different. Saints, I am convinced that God, he doesn't want us to commit any of these acts. And so if one is bad, they're all are bad. But we judge ourselves and we rate ourselves. I'm convinced we got to stop doing that. We have to give ourselves to the things of God. And so when we do that, then we go to Philippians 2. I love that it starts with, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort this from his love, if any common sharing in the same spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit of one mind. How can we blame somebody for doing something and we're doing one of those other things that were listed in Romans? If we're showing compassion and we're showing tenderness and love. I think in my heart that God is teaching, at least for me, is that sometimes it's best to just be quiet, because we can be so judging and so condemning with our words, and not even realize that we're calling somebody out. And so I'm learning to just be quiet. And so it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. How do we do that in this world system where it's telling us to get yours because I'm going to get mine? That's not operating in the things of God. I love that if you skip down to verse 6, it says, who being in very nature, God's nature, amen, do not consider equality with God, but something to be used to their own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking his very nature as a servant and made up in the human likeness. And so when we talk about, I'm going to do what Jesus does, well, he didn't do things the way people are doing things. And even those of us that wear the badge of Christianity, Jesus wouldn't do some of the things that people are doing. So we have to be mindful. If you want to grow in the things of God, you have to be convinced that he's going to show you. And when he shows you, you got to do what he's called you to do. I love that if you go down, it says, and being found in the appearance of the man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the cross. I mean, we're told we're going to get fired. We'll go slap off, or we're told something. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew he was going to be beaten. He was going to be humiliated. He was going to be spit on. He knew all of that and went humbly. We don't do that, but we want to be like Jesus. I mean, thanks. We got to be convinced that We got to do some different things. We got to see God, and we got to understand who he is. We got to know his will. We got to know his way. And then we got to know what is our purpose. And when you learn your purpose, then you can be humble and serve in the spot where you are. I am so humbled now because of the environment that God has me in. What am I going to jeopardize that for? Because somebody said that they, you did. We can get so caught up, and I could go back and forth. And back, for what? Because at the end of the day, does it matter? Does it really matter? Is it going to take me out of heaven, take them into heaven? Is somebody going to get in front of the line? But I think sometimes we get so caught up. We have to be convinced no matter. Amen. I am convinced that God has called me and that he will exalt me in the highest place when it's supposed to be. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do things with grumbling. And it says, do everything without grumbling. And if you go down further in Philippians 2, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, not ours, his. And so when we get caught up doing the things that we want to do, we're making it our will. We're making it our way. We got to be convinced, Lord, it's all about you. And so even though we want to enjoy ourselves and have a good time, I think we can. I think that's why he brought us here. We can joke and we can laugh and we can have a good time. But we also got to be mindful that when it's time for us to minister his word, we got to be the examples that he's called us to be. And so I love this scripture that a friend sent me the other day. And so I thought, oh, wow, this is cool. And so, on Facebook and Twitter and all these social media handles, people send a lot of stuff. And sometimes I read it, sometimes I don't, sometimes it's, okay, amen. But this is the 23rd Psalm, and this was really, really, really exciting to me. So I thought, oh, wow, this is meaningful. And so I've read the 23rd Psalms many times, ministered on it, got a bag of chips and a T-shirt to match. But this was different, and I loved how it was broken down. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing, I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. Amen. Wasn't that deep? And then, of course, I put it at the bottom. I am convinced and receive every single promise that God has for me. Convinced. Even though I've had so many things. And so one of the ladies told me the other day, she's like, Dr. Happy, I've gone through so much you wouldn't even believe. And I laughed. And she said, why you laugh? I said, because I've been through so much, I don't think that you would believe me either. And so we went from, I didn't even tell her all the stuff that I had been through, just a couple of things. She's like, wow, I think you got me beat. But how her whole demeanor changed towards me. But I didn't tell her that stuff because I wanted her to feel sorry for me, but I just wanted her to see the enemy will make us believe that everything that we've gone through is just unbearable. We just, oh, we can't survive. Yeah, you can. God has you. You just got to give him your hand. That's why I love how this particular passage of scriptures was broken down for almost every sentence. I shall not want that supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshing. He restores my soul. That's healing. I believe in my heart that God has me through a restoration period, that I've gone through quite a bit, and so now I'm on the side of being restored. That I see things completely different because I don't see them through Leah's eyes anymore. I try to see them through God's eyes. Lord, what do you have for me? And there are so many things that I want and so many things that I need. And then God asks me, do you? Is that your will again, or is that my will? And I have to put that back before him. Lord, I repent. You know, okay, yeah. You order my stuff because I can't do anything without you anyway. So I ain't gonna trip. However you line things up, I'm just gonna walk. Amen. You know, I like talking. So make sure somebody's, you know, I have somebody to talk to along the way. I don't like doing a thing by myself. You know, but amen. If I have to be by myself, I'll be by myself. But just, you know, can I talk to the birds? Can they twerk, tweet back to me? Anyway, God is so amazing, Faith. We just got to trust him. And I don't think that we've learned how to trust him enough. I think he's so much bigger than what we put him in a box of. And I think, unfortunately, some of that has been taught by the church because they didn't know. But the more we study, the more do we have a better understanding of who God really is. You'll be at peace, and you don't have to fight, and you don't have to argue, and you don't have to tell nobody this or that or whatever. I'm convinced that I don't have to convince anybody who I am anymore. Why? Because I know who God is, and I know who he called me. He called me to be a child of God. I'm a daughter. I'm a king's kid. So I don't trip anymore. At least I try not to. And so I had my last, and I'm hoping it was my last, outburst a couple weeks ago with the heating man. And although I was right in everything, well, not everything, because I did go too far, but I believed that I was supposed to stand up for my family. But the way I did it was out of order because I, too, then said, God ain't in control. I had to be in control because I needed to make sure he understood that he did the wrong thing. And so I spent a whole day and was distracted. That word again, I was distracted. I should have turned over, Lord, fix it, and went back to sleep. But I got up and thought that I had to become Queen of Sheba and, you know, amen. All those things for the better, but it was more or less for me to learn the lesson. So you are being divine again, right? And I'm like, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I had to apologize to the people that I, you know, said some choice words to, and sit down again and let God be God. Because, you know, we talked about that testing. That's the era of testing. Leah, are you going to get caught up every single time somebody throws something at you that's not going the way you want it to go? Or are you going to wait and let me do it? Are you going to believe me or not? Are you going to trust me or not? You have this decision. If you want to grow in the things of me, then you got to let me lead. You have to let me lead. And so in your life, are you driving? Are you riding? We need to be riding in God's car, not driving him, unless he tells us to drive. It's okay. I can drive, Lord, for real, for real, for real. But most of the time, it'll be him driving because you don't want to drive. Lord, this is Atlanta traffic. Mm-mm. You drive, Lord, I'm good. You drive. You drive. But think seriously. We can be the best that we can be only if we let God be God. And so this week, this weekend was so assuring of all of that. If I walk with the fools, I'll be amongst them. But if I walk with the wise, amen, they will keep me encouraged and keep me focused on the things of God. And if I let God be God, amen, I can be convinced that everything that he said in Psalms 23, I can have my supplies met, I can be refreshed, I can rest, I can have purpose. He'll test me some, but he's going to protect me, and he's going to help me to be faithful, and he's going to make sure that I have hope and that I'm consecrated, that I have an abundance, I have security. I mean, thanks. I can shout. But today, I think I'm just going to bask in his presence because it's amazing. It's just amazing. So in the midst of our month to recognize those that have overcome and that were convinced that what the assignments that God gave them was for their purpose, for their timing, let's just thank God, you know, that because of these people, they did what they're supposed to do. And then praise God, ask him, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing for the next generation? Am I supposed to be doing something that could turn the world around? I mean, who knew peanut butter was going to be, you know, something that was really of substance? But God knew, and he used the right people to make sure that he gave the gift to do that. Now, I could keep going because, you know, I love to talk, but I am out of time because I heard the little message. And so I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God. And so this week, my nephew sang that song, and baby called to my knees because made me think of my granny. It's like, oh, Lord, okay, amen. I say it at the show, but it didn't hit me like it hit me when he was singing it. But nevertheless, it is my granny's favorite song, and it's been, what, 3 or 4 months, and amen, we've been without her. But nevertheless, I'll close the broadcast out with her song. Like I said, I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. So make sure you tune in again next week. We'll have another empowering message for the things of God and about God, and be empowered and be able to be encouraged and educated. So I love you. I pray for you, and keep the faith. Remember to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Every word of worship.
praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Come on, say every praise.